Welcome to the latest edition of Auto Insider, where we're talking cars, car dealerships, and mostly crap about both. I don't know about you, but I think we're about ready to get started.
All right. Grab a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
That's the podcast.
Okay. We're doing coffee today.
No, we
had Foo Fighters fog lifter this morning.
You ordered some very delicious coffee, which I appreciate. Yes, thank you, Dad.
Just for you.
Yeah, much appreciated.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so what are we talking about today on the podcast, Dad?
Whatever you decide, it's your show, buddy.
I like how this works.
Yeah.
So the title of today's episode and what we're going to be discussing are the differences between the different types of dealerships that are out there. And what I mean specifically, Dad, is if you could give us some insights as we go through the car buying process, if we're thinking about going to Carvana, CarMax, Vroom, Shift, can you come up with any other kind of like, you know, tech first names? Can you?
No.
Money clips?
We're not doing rap videos.
So you have like kind of this new wave of dealership
where
you can't haggle, there's no negotiation.
One price. Negotiation free selling.
And so I want you to, if you can, please explain and kind of compare that with the traditional dealerships, the dealerships that you worked in for a long time, of which there are 16,000 or so, not to mention the independent dealerships that are out there as well. So in today's episode, Dad, let's try and provide like a foundation, like a 100 level course in the types of dealerships that are out there and what you should expect at each.
Well, let's start by saying that there are approximately 70 million car transactions a year.
That's unreal.
That's a lot of sales, whether it be used, new, consignment, whatever it is. There's 70 million transactions a year. And there's one thing, if there was one thing that most Americans would say that they really, really dislike other than a root canal, it would be buying a car.
Yeah.
They hate the process. And so starting from that perspective where people hate the process of buying cars, people like CarMax that started 27 years ago and their whole buying concept or their sales concept,
their
was,
value proposition
was it's no haggle, no hassle. It's one price. You come in. It is what it is. There's not really salespeople. They're sales guides. They'll help you. It's all transparent. If you want to sell us your car, we'll appraise your car. We'll buy it from you on the spot. It takes a half an hour. So everything was transparency with CarMax. And then along came Carvana. And they have one price concept. And Vroom has a one price concept. And there's other dealers that have gone to one price selling or negotiation free selling. Now, why would dealers go in that direction? Well, dealers have earned over the last 120 years a reputation for being somewhat unsavory.
Not you, though.
No, never me. No, but most dealers, somewhat unsavory.
Yeah.
Employing tactics that consumers would consider to be unfair, manipulative, holding people hostage, holding cars hostage. And so other dealers said, well, we need to find a better way. And the better way was negotiation-free and no-haggle pricing. So I worked for a group before Penske took it over. And we had two vice presidents in the group. One vice president believed in a no haggle, one price scenario for selling, and the other believed in a negotiation style of sales, but based on being as transparent as you could and taking good care of the customers. And this was in the 90s, mm-hmm. The late 90s. The one price stores had great customer satisfaction scores. The salespeople loved it. The clientele loved it. And the stores made nice profits.
Yeah.
The negotiation stores, the salespeople didn't like it quite as much, but they liked the fact that they can impact their commissions. The customers didn't like it quite as much, but they knew that we would take care of them if there were ever any problems because we were part of the larger group. Those stores made money. Ultimately, what happened is the one price division went back to negotiating.
I remember reading about this in Automotive News. Yeah.
Yeah. And the reason for that was, even though people complain about having to negotiate with car dealers and feeling that they're at a disadvantage, the vast majority, and, you know, I throw out my statistics that don't mean anything, but 94% of them.
I think it's 95.
It could be. It might be 93. I'm not sure. But a high percentage of them, even though they complain about it, still want to do it. Because they want to feel like they've gotten over on the salespeople instead of the salespeople in the dealership getting over on them.
And some people, as you've talked about in the past, and I think actually that the majority of people want the F word.
The who?
They want it to be fair.
Oh, that F word. Well, the salesperson will have other F words. But
you know what I mean? Like,
they want it to be fun.
So, yeah, exactly. Well done. You know, so there's a subset of people that want to win, quote unquote, and there's a subset of people that want to just feel like they were treated and got a fair deal.
Yes.
And going through the negotiation process and how drawn out it is leads to, generally speaking, people thinking, okay, I won, or okay, at least I grinded it out and I got the best price possible.
Yes.
When in
yes.
reality, as you've talked about in the past, you know, you could get a more fair deal doing negotiation for your one price. They have to be competitive prices to begin with.
Well, you know, from our YouTube channel, yeah. I mean, we've gotten any number of comments where people say, oh, well, when I went to a one price store, their prices were so much higher than the other. You know what? They're not so much higher than they couldn't stay in business if they were. Okay? They have to be competitive. Are they thousands of dollars more? Absolutely not. And some commenters have said, well, you go to the one price store to find out what they're selling it for, and then you go to the competitor store and get them to beat the price. Well, what's your time worth? Everybody has a finite amount of time on this planet. And how much of that time do you really want to spend on buying a car? Why can't it be that buying a car is like buying a pullover at Kohl's? You know what the price is. You try it on, it fits. You go to the cashier, you pay for it, she gives you some cold cash to have you come back again. But
you know the answer to this, though, Dad. No. We both were looking over the FTC report that came out at the end of July.
Yes.
Buckle up. Here's how you go through automotive, you know, purchasing. That's what the title of the report was.
Yeah.
Come on. And you said at the beginning, it's 100 years of practice.
120.
120 years of practice.
Yeah.
So I think in principle, all of humanity agrees with you. In practice, all of humanity disagrees with you.
All of humanity is not willing to participate in that manner.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So why is that? So is it that people really want a pleasant experience when they buy a car? Or do they want to feel like they've won?
I think it's the pleasant experience. And I can back this up with an anecdote.
I like anecdotes.
So we had one of our viewers, someone from our audience, sent an email to us recently. And they were telling a story about their 2017 Mazda CX-5.
Yes.
Okay, and they had two lease payments left.
Yes.
And a residual value on that vehicle. The payoff was
$16,500. Yeah, $500. Yes, I read that.
He went to CarMax. She went to CarMax, Vroom, AutoNation, and Carvana to get offers.
Yes.
And Carvana offered $18,434, which was over $2,000 more than any of the competing.
What's that tell you?
That says to me
that
Carvana and some of those other players are willing to spend a ton of money to buy units because they know that they can sell the convenience of then purchasing those units.
Yes.
They know there's a buying public who will essentially overpay for the convenience. So to your question of, do people want to feel like they won or do they want a pleasant experience?
Yes.
I think they want a pleasant experience, and we're seeing that play out in the numbers.
I beg to differ.
Hey, Zach here, one half of Your Auto Insider. We really hope you're enjoying today's episode. If you're ever interested, you can always get more insight into what Ray and I are doing at yourautoadvocate.com. We've got a platform that we've built that'll help you navigate the car buying process, negotiate the best deal possible, and feel more confident while you're doing it. All right, let's get back to the episode. And that is why we have this podcast.
Yes. And the reason I differ is if 93 or 94 or even 95%.
Could be up to 95.
It might even be 96 for all we know.
And by the end of this episode, yeah, it could be 100.
We could rename it. If the vast majority of the people who complain about the process still want to go through the process and negotiate, then that tells me, and if there were 70 million transactions last year, 70 million, okay? And we know that CarMax sold like 870-some thousand cars. And we know that Carvana sold like 200,000 cars and Vroom sold like 17,000 cars, whatever it is. So there's 70 million transactions, and we've accounted for, I don't know, a little over a million in a no negotiation type of setting.
Great point.
What are the odds? What do those odds tell you that the vast majority of people, as much as they will complain about the process, still want to participate in the process when given the opportunity to make it pleasant, less time consuming, and more enjoyable? They go, nah, I want the pain. I got to have the pain. And then that's the folly of all this. You know, and I blame the folly on me because I was in the business for 43 years. And for, I don't know, the last 15 or 20 of those years, I was going, really? You know, things would be so much easier if the price was the price. And it didn't have to take 8 hours for somebody to buy a car. And it didn't have to take 8 hours for a salesperson to sell a car. And God, wouldn't life be nicer that way? And apparently the answer is no. Go figure.
Yeah.
Yeah. So as much as I like to say, well, it should be like going to the Apple store and paying too much for your Apple product, people just want to haggle. You know, people want to think they're in the Mideast somewhere and they're bargaining over a rug.
Yeah.
And they complain, but they still want to do it.
Yeah, no, yeah. There's definitely some psychology there.
And so, but how do we change that psychology?
Well, I think, you know, there's this concept of information asymmetry. If you Google search that, you'll find some academic stuff. But
well, first I'd have to know how to spell it.
What was that song I was trying to look up earlier?
Diminuendo and crescendo and blue.
Yeah, I could not spell that to save my life. Mm. So information asymmetry, that is when you have two sides of an equation, right?
Yeah.
Two people involved. And one has more information than the other.
Yes.
And essentially, that's what we've had in the car business in perpetuity.
Yes.
And we see it on occasion, different vendors and different, you know, companies come along that try and, like, you know, level the playing field, so mm-hmm. to say. But then you realize they all kind of sell out and make all their money by selling leads to the dealers. And so as consumers, as car buyers, we really don't have a level playing field. And that's why we turn to, at least some of us turn to, okay, whatever, I'll pay more, I'll go to Carvana. Okay, whatever, I'll pay more, I'll go to CarMax. But that's not right and it's not fair. And I think we do eventually,
yeah.
And I know we've talked about this in some of our YouTube videos, I think we do eventually get to that Apple world that you talked about, and we can look at Tesla a bit uh-huh. as a model for that.
Uh-huh.
The issue there is there's, you know, 17,000 dealerships with franchise agreements, and there's hundreds of billions of dollars tied up in that.
Yes.
It's going to take decades.
Yes.
If not another 120 years before we get to a place where manufacturers can sell directly to consumers. Yeah. And
or if they even want to.
I think there is a desire to do that. I don't know if the manufacturers have a desire to do that, but I think consumers have an interest in getting rid of the middleman.
I hear you, but I would almost venture that the same percentage of consumers that would have a desire to get rid of the middleman are the same percentage of people that are interested in a non-negotiating type of sale, which would indicate to me that it's really a very small percentage. They might be somewhat vocal, but they're small. And if you were to extrapolate it out into a large scale, it won't play well.
But I also think it plays into the demographics of the market, right? So You're 69 years old.
Last time I checked, yes.
I'm 25 years old.
Last time I remember celebrating your birthday, yes.
I'm 2 for 2 right now on ages.
You might want to stop.
My sister, 26. So the point I'm trying to make with age is that I think as my generation gets and garners more spending power,
uh-huh.
you're going to see that they have a different interest level. You know, the distribution of 1/70th of all transactions wanting to be negotiation free uh-huh. is the market at large.
Yes.
That distribution amongst 25 and under might be 1/20th or 1/10th, you know, 10% of transactions.
Is it?
I'm speculating. Right
okay.
now. And what I'm suggesting is that maybe in your age bracket, in yes. your age group, your demographic, it's probably 1% of people want to do the negotiation free. They want to go in and negotiate and go through the motions in that regard. And so I think as we move forward, you'll see less and less negotiation. And you also do see, Dad, some of the big players like AutoNation does negotiation free now. Penske did the trial run and obviously went back to negotiation. So, you know, I think we've seen fits and starts, but it does feel like this inevitable push. And it is something that as a consumer, you should be familiarizing yourself with and understand that, you know, it is an option that's out there.
Well, if as many people who complain about it actually refuse to do business with dealers that use the negotiation traditional car store strategy, then it would cause those dealers to rethink how they need to do business. But the vast majority who complain the most still buy the most at these negotiation stores. So part of it has to be consumer-based, where somebody has to rally the consuming public to say, this is not how you want to be buying your cars anymore. Here's a better way. Here's why you should do it. And you should get all the dealers to do this. But the public's like lemmings. They just do what they do. They do what they know. Sometimes they even do what they hate.
People are change adverse, and no one's really... I mean, we're obviously trying to do it with your auto advocate, but no one's really trying to support the car buyer through the process. I mean, TrueCar is a great example. They don't support you through the car buying process. They sell your leads to the dealership.
Yeah.
Okay, so no one's really waking up every single morning, rallying the troops and saying, okay, we're going to make car buying better for the customer.
Everyone's us.
Yeah. I mean, I think we are pretty... Yeah. I think we are, Dad. I really do. And so... I agree. It's consumer facing. It's dealer facing. You need this outside force that's also going to help. And, you know, the elephant in the room is the fact that dealerships don't even make that much money from selling cars. It's all the other stuff that happens. And so as a car buyer, as a consumer, it's pretty important that you educate yourself on the whole process. You know, the finance component, of course,
mm-hmm.
the maintenance piece, servicing, refinancing in the future, selling your car back in the future. Like all of those pieces financially have much greater implications than the bit of margin, if there is any, in the purchase of a car from either a one price store or negotiation store. And so to me, I find that a bit ironic that, you know, cars could be sold cars are a commodity, but they could be sold at one price or negotiation, but really the money gets made in all these other different ways.
Yeah, no, it's, you know, it's the selling of the cars is a means to an end.
Exactly.
Yeah. And the end is the service and the finance and the parts and, you know, and that's that. You know, when you need tires, maybe you'll go to Goodyear, maybe your dealer will have a special on tires, and that's what they're counting on.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So right. As far as negotiation free and negotiating, there's negotiation free stores out there. There's one price stores out there as much. And some of them are not as competitive as others. But there is a convenience and there's a time savings and your time has value. For those that don't want to haggle, go there. For those who like the challenge, go to a traditional car dealership.
Put that on a t-shirt and I'd buy it. Your time has value.
Oh, I like that. We need to do merch.
Dad, I really appreciate your time.
My pleasure. Thank you, Zach.